Nova. Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown are made for Melbourne. The Chrissy, Sam, and Brownie podcast.
Hey, this is it for the last time, podcasters. Hello. But for the last time this year, I should say, Chrissy Swan.
Yes, just this year. Welcome, Tony Martin, to
Thank
the podcast.
You. Yes. This is a Jockers one, isn't it? This is going to go.
Wow.
This is a big download.
All right. It is a big download. My face is aching today from so much that happened. It was a massive walk down memory lane, wasn't it? It's only been a year, but geez, we've talked some stuff.
I'll try to whip through them. I did a Chrissy Sam Brady story time.
Yes.
Where I mentioned my brother Panger.
Yes.
Mick Warhurst came in to do Dance Floor Filler. Amazing.
Oh, darling.
Warney was on the phone.
Warney?
What? With these emojis. He's got plenty there, Swan.
Certainly. And gorgeous Tony Martin.
Another one of those.
Yes. My God.
I reveal the curse that afflicts a famous Australian film.
You'll never guess which one. It's right. Crackerjack.
Sam's Diary as well, where our boss Rowan gets another clip, it's fair to say.
Is he okay? Is he all right, our boss? Like, is he all right?
He's so high, he doesn't know where he is anyway. Doesn't even matter.
And also, Brownie, you did a wrap of the entire year. And, of course, Dino's pitch. God, it's a great podcast today, if I don't say so myself. So enjoy it.
Enjoy.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Morning, Melbourne. Good morning, Pangy. Here you are. Woo.
Can't believe it. Good morning, Melbourne.
It's our very last show today for the year. We are coming back next year.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Big announcement.
Yep. There you go.
How are you there, mate?
Oh, mate.
You pull up all right?
I played golf with Brownie yesterday, Swanee.
Why are you wearing a coat inside?
Because I've lost the... Because 18 holes took it out of me. I didn't know where I was at the end of it. It was in the heat. Didn't handle the heat that well.
Didn't you, darling?
No.
What, he's a big hitter. Jeez.
I keep telling you, by the way, do you know that there's nothing more interesting than hearing about someone else's golf game? Do you know that?
Yeah.
You know,
it's great. It's great.
You know, oh, you and I, it's fascinating to you and I could hear about your golf game forever, but no one else cares. You know that, big fella. No worries. Keep going. I'm going to keep talking golf.
Right, I'm just going to count up our golf card.
I can't believe we got to...
Speaking of weather...
You're showing wonderful self-awareness on the very last show of the year.
I only know it was hot because I watched the Channel 10 news last night and Larkin. What's that great phrase that we've coined this year?
Lost the will to live?
Another stinker from Larkin.
Who I love his the way he just carries on and forges. I love his persistence, Mike. But last night, for our last show, I thought he brought out the big guns.
And in Brisbane, where there's a dentist who doesn't enjoy a hard day at the orifice, 30.
Oh, well done.
Yikes.
I reckon during when Eurovision's on next year and Sam's away, we just get Mike in. Mike could do his little quips.
Seamless transition.
Chrissy, Sam, and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
So Dance Floor Fillers, I did yesterday, Chrissy Swan.
Yeah, it's a tough act to follow, but I reckon Miff Warhurst is up for the challenge.
I'm the mere entree to her main. But it was Dance Floor Fillers was something that I would listen in, because you do that usually early, you know, 6:30,
right.
And I'd listen to it on the way in.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to be a part of it, and yesterday I got to do it. Something else that you'd have wheeled out usually in the first hour is story time.
That's right. Where we just tell a story from our lives.
Yeah, and so you've been doing that all year, and I wanted to do it as well. So, Dino?
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie story.
Yay!
Now, I'll preface this by saying I'm not a great anecdotalist. Yeah, and the big fella just wheels out magnificent stories.
It's not going to be the day you kick 9 goals, is it? I've heard that a hundred times.
We don't have time to go through them all. But Swanee, you're great as well. So it's a tough thing to do. I'm off to a cracking start. But I'm going to tell you a story about my brother.
Oh, Panger.
I know you know. Panger. You've always said, I don't actually do much family time. It's a private family and the... Just, you know, they're boring. You know, man, as opposed to you two have great families, you've got great stories, you know what I mean? You got uncles writing poetry and all this sort of stuff. You got different things. My family's just boring.
But what I can gather from Panger is he's the stuff of legends.
Yeah, Panger's
little brother Panger.
Yeah, Brownie's met Panger.
I like Panger.
Yeah.
Big fan of Panger.
So
who's better, panger or pangy?
Panger. That's an easy
panger.
One. Jesus.
All right.
God almighty.
Next year's going to be Chrissy Panger and Brownie.
He's a little fella too. He's a bit of a lightweight, but tips him away. He's okay.
So about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, we were invited to a party, but you had to dress up, and you had to, the only criteria was you had to wear a suit.
Easy.
You'll be, in hindsight, by the way, you know I went in a kung fu suit. I looked at some, one of my mates went in a tracksuit. You know what I mean? Like they didn't, we found loopholes, but Panga didn't have a suit. So me and a friend, me and my mate Brendan and Panga went to the local op shop to buy him a suit.
Great.
Because, you know, there's some good stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
There is.
So we went into this op shop, and Brendan and I were, you know, looking for some suits. Panga was not overly fast. He's got less energy than me, by the way, Panga.
Wow.
Barely breathing. The woman behind the counter came up. This is at an op shop. Came up and started, you know, making some suggestions to Panga. We told him this, told her the situation, and said, this young man here needs a suit. So she started making some suggestions. Right. But it got to the point as, like, you know, going the hard sell.
Really?
Yes. Yeah,
at the op shop.
At the op shop.
Jeez.
So she picked out this. She picked out a light brown, a beige suit.
I like it. Oh,
yeah. It's kind of beige, cream, like one of that. You know the colour.
Like a safari suit, lounge suit.
Almost.
Sort of
that was the colour.
Yeah.
And she brought over the jacket, and he put it on, and it fit. He put out, and she brought over the pants. Brought over a fit. Brought over the vest.
What?
Oh, yes.
A three-piece.
Three-piece beige suit, right? And put it on. And then Panga wasn't overly, you know, thrilled. He didn't seem to be hitting the mark.
Right.
But she was so, you know, she said, look, I just want to point this out too, that we've got a sale on today.
I love it when there's a sale at an op shop.
At an op shop, right?
It feels so wrong to get excited about it.
See, usually this suit would have been $12, right? But today it was going for six.
Six.
Oh,
so all of a sudden, Panga, by the way, notoriously a cheap man, all of a sudden he's bucked. He goes, only $6.
Can't remember then.
Yeah. Yeah. But he still hadn't committed. She said, and Panga wears glasses. I said, I noticed you wear glasses. I've got this, a couple of accoutrements that may go to it. So I go with the suit. One was a velvet burgundy bow tie.
Oh my God!
Right?
She knows her stock.
And because of the glasses, a velvet burgundy glass case.
To go
with it, right? So she said, I'll throw them in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Panga all over it.
Myself and Brendan are pissing ourselves. Yeah. We cannot believe he's standing there in a three-piece beige suit with a red burgundy velvet bow tie on. His glasses are in a case in his top pocket. And this woman is, like, desperate to make this sale at this op shop.
Yeah. And it's $1.20 a piece.
Yeah, the whole thing's $6. She's thrown in the glass case. She's thrown in the bow tie, and she's just there. Eventually, it got to crunch time, and she said, "So, what do you think, young man?" And Panga said, "He looked at there. He's standing in the mirror. He's looking there, and he looked at her. He says, "You know what? Stuff it. I'll take it. You only get married once."
Shane Warne. He's an Australian cricket legend. How the hell is he so talented?
I'm saying aliens.
I don't think that's right, Shane.
No, I know that. I'm not a dick.
Okay. But he has some new emojis. Here's Shane.
Here he is, one of my cricketing idols growing up, Swan. And I was there the day that he got his 700th test wicket at the MCG. I was about 10 pots in Bay 13. The great Shane Warne. How are you, Warney?
Hey, Brownie. G'day, boys. How are we?
I'm here too.
sorry, Chrissy. I was meant to say, guys, you know, it's very early. I don't know how you guys get up so early. I was up at 5:30 this morning. I feel like my eyes are hanging out of my head. How do you guys do that every day?
Oh, don't worry. Sam doesn't get out of bed that early, mate.
Yeah, the answer's not well. That's how we do it, Warnie.
Your emojis launched today. I am so delighted that my favourite image is in there, the one of you stretching your entire mouth around the top of a glass of beer. That was the moment I fell in love with you, Shane Warne, and that's that.
Well, I mean, it is fun to try and get it, especially the bigger the glass, to try and get your mouth around the whole thing and neck it in one. It's always good fun. Brownie taught me everything I know.
Tell you what he said.
Brownie, you should see what Brownie can do, put in his mouth. It's a huge what he can get in there.
Well, I can do it upside down, stand on my head, Warnie. How many emojis have you got, Warnie?
No, there's lots, mate. We've got lots of different categories, and we've sort of covered off a lot. We've got stuff about my life, cricket stuff. We've got some serious cricket stuff, which is pretty good. We've got some fun stuff, some naughty stuff, some silly things. You know what? It was actually really good fun with sitting with the designers and drawing all the things up and coming up with ideas, just sitting there and saying, now, what about when this happened? We've got to get one like that. These guys are going to come back and just start giggling. It was, so, yeah, there's lots of them. There's lots of different categories, and they are fun, actually. They're really fun. Like, we all take our life too seriously sometimes, or people out there take themselves too seriously. So this is all about fun. Life's about fun, and this is what this is about.
Hey, Warnie, I've got a couple sent through to me from Licky Tunnicliffe, and I'm not sure whether these made the final cut, but I showed Swan before, and you're there just canoodling in a bed with someone, but Swanee just wanted to know who that was. Was that Liz Hurley in that emoji?
No, I've done that, mate. It has to be someone you haven't been there with.
Oh, brilliant.
So, yeah, it's just there's lots of those. I'm actually giving some golf swings as well where I say, you're a hooker. There's some splice ones. There's some poker emojis as well. There's all sorts
of funny
stuff.
I'm going to get that one for my mum. She'll love it.
They're free, too. They're free from both the app stores, too. So that's pretty cool.
So it's got the having a look at in front of me, Chrissy Swan. There's one, of course, is Brownie. There's Warnie playing golf. There's Warnie as a devil. There's Warnie. There's one of you texting. You approve that one, mate?
Yes. Double thumb.
You're texting the. It's hard to tell from the emoji. Are you texting who you want to text to, or is it a mistake text?
Well, come on, mate. I definitely wasn't texting you. That's for sure.
What didn't make the cut, Warnie? You said that you're involved in the process. What are some of the things that were kind of on the board but just didn't quite get there?
Well, there's a few that we pushed the envelope a bit too far, but it sounded great. But then when we saw them on paper, went, oh, no. I mean, I'm not that politically correct at the best of times, but these ones weren't very politically correct at all. So I probably couldn't say which ones didn't make it because that wouldn't be fair, or that wouldn't be right. But, there was a lot that was still lying around that maybe one night when Brownie, I'm having a beer with Brownie, I might show him a few.
He looks forward to that.
Yes. I read between the lines. The one with the inflatable toy and the two British models, that didn't make the cut there. That's fine. That's fine, Warnie. At least it was up on the board.
Yeah.
Forgive our friend here. Hey, Warnie, the Aussie cricket team, are we back on track?
I don't think one test match says you're back on track. But I thought the selectors and the chairman, Trevor Holmes, did a pretty good job. When you saw the team on paper for the third test match, you sort of think, you know what, that looks a bit stronger. It also looked like there was a bit of a plan there. So I thought we played a lot better too. And there's a few young kids in there. So I think, look, you can't, when you make that change when a lot of the really good players leave, you can't then just pick old players as a stopgap, I don't believe. I believe that was the time to go with youngsters. And you could have given some of these guys like Hanscom and Madison and all these guys maybe 15 or 20 test matches. And they would have been, it's like playing AFL, you give them 50, 60 games, and suddenly they start to understand and you work out if they're good enough or not.
If there is a chairman selector's position available, if you were offered the chairman selector's position or a selector for the Australian team, would you do it?
Well, no, I wouldn't, Brownie. And the reason is, it's not that I wouldn't want to do it or wouldn't want to help out where I can. I mean, with these things, you have to give it time. You've got to give the time to go around to all the Shield games. You've got to go around and see all the players. And I would love to do it, but there's just not enough time. And I think if you want to do everything right, I'm one of those guys. You either do it 100% or you don't do it. So there might be a time down the track when that opportunity comes up. But right now, with everything else that I've got going on, I just couldn't give it the right time that it deserves. Mm. And I think there's some guys out there that probably would do a pretty good job. I think Trevor Holmes. I mean, he was chairman of selectors for the majority of the time I played, and what he did with the team, I know we had a good team, but I thought he managed that very, very well and did a great job. So Trevor Holmes has my full support as chairman of selectors. No worries at all.
I don't think it'd be a good look if Warney was our chairman of selectors, because for Australian cricket, for the chairman of selectors to still be in the best 11, I don't think that's a great thing for our country.
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
Ed Sheeran's been snapped out and about at a function with his sword scar looking neatly healed. Oh, Dino. Look at that. The world's most perfect sound effect right there. He said, it's nice to be back. I've had a whole year off. I went to Japan for about a month and hang out with Japanese people. And I got my face cut open. Anybody read about that? Lols. Because you know it was everywhere.
I ever say lols, kill me.
Well, you just said it.
No, if I say it in terms of in genuine, if I'm having a conversation with you and I say lols,
yeah,
that's it, mate.
How do you want to die?
Oh, with a sword. There you go.
Let's get a sword, okay. It is our last show today, our last for the year, and I think we've got to thank a very special member of the extended team, Arnie. Thank you so much for all the good work you've done this year.
Yeah, thanks. It's not much. Fly down here, say a few words, a couple of quips. It's fantastic. Little bit of mayo on the break and I'm out.
Are you upset that we've flown you all the way from California just to say thank you?
No, it was first class. I watched a lot of movies. It was great. You know, sat there, had a bit of food, went to the toilet and, you know, reflected on life. A lot of time, yeah.
What movie did you see on the plane?
Well, for some reason I saw Kindergarten Cop 2 with Dolph Lundgren. It was horrible. Don't watch it. Why make it again? Idiots.
Thanks, Arnie.
Yeah, it's fine. Bye. Happy holidays. Have a great time. Drive carefully.
Okay.
That'll do it.
Miff Warhurst. She's the complete opposite of Tom Gleisner, as in she's the last guest for this year. Tom was the first, and I know Tony Martin's coming up, but he's like one of those guys who sleep on the couch and kind of isn't a guest anymore. Anyway, she's an ABC legend, Spicks and Specks legend, and music knowledge legend. There's a myth that her dad was the mayor of Mildura. I don't know. This isn't Mythbusters. That didn't sound right. Anyway, here's Warhurst.
Here she is, Miff Warhurst.
Oh, my goodness, what an introduction. Thank you so much for having me.
Listen to that voice. Yes. Hey?
Hello.
One of our absolute favourite human beings ever. We're so thrilled to have you in this studio. I'm just delighted.
I'm so happy to be back, Chrissy. And my last time I spent with you at a wedding in Bali, and we duetted on Islands in the Stream. Oh, and I'm hoping that we can recreate that magic.
You never told us that's one.
I'll never forget it. But some memories, you know, I like to keep to myself.
Miff, did you carry her? Because she has got good pipes.
Set of pipes.
She's got great pipes. Yes. She carried me, I think.
Who took the high
notes?
Who was who?
I think I went for Kenny.
Yes, that's right. Because
I went low.
As it was starting, I remember going to, who's who? Who's who? And you, the last thing I remember was you going, I'm Kenny, I'm Kenny. I'm going to be Kenny.
I want to be Kenny in life.
Hey, Miff, you've agreed to come in to do a little segment of mine called Moby Disc Dance Floor Fillers. I can't believe it took me this long to think of you. This is so up your alley. So when in the 90s, when I was getting myself through uni, I was a mobile DJ with a company called Moby Disc. And what it involved was a plywood console covered in carpet and two Sony Discmen hot glue gunned onto them. So dual, so that you could cue one up, pause, and then start the other one. And lights, and I would put that in my Daihatsu Charade boot.
I had a Daihatsu Charade as
well.
Did
you?
Yeah.
What colour was yours?
Burgundy.
Mine was burgundy. Yeah,
90s.
Mine was white, 90s. Yeah. And I would drive out to, you know, like Croydon Footy Club or, you know, an engagement party at Rembrandt's. And I was the DJ.
This is amazing.
It's sort of got a life of its own now.
Yeah.
And what we do is we take a year and then we champion three songs from that year.
Because if Miff was DJing at a party and you needed the dance floor filled, Miff,
these
are the songs you would go with.
I think I've picked some certified winners.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. Miff Warhurst.
Chrissy's Dance Floor Fillers.
Are you ready? All right, special guest DJ Miff Warhurst.
All right.
What is the year, my darling?
1983. I thought I'd take us right back.
Ladies.
Right. Right back. Yeah. Right back. It was a big year for me.
Yeah.
I was 10.
Yeah.
I had a really bad haircut, probably some sort of mullet thing, like short at the front, long at the back, maybe going for some tips at the local hairdresser, threw a cap. That was probably around about that time.
Gosh.
And I was learning to love music, but also learning, sort of discovering that music was more than just music. It was pretty sexy.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, you know, this was a special time in my life. I was discovering things. Should I introduce
yeah,
the first song?
Yeah, kick the first one on.
All right, this I discovered when I went on holidays with the family to Marineland Caravan Village in Adelaide. It was under the flight path next to the sewage farm, and it was the hottest holiday I've ever had in my life because there was boys around the pool and there was a vending machine where I bought Jaffers. And I thought that was pretty amazing. I'd never seen a vending machine either. And then this song would come on over the loudspeaker and I adored it. And then I realised that the clip was filmed in Australia and like, what is David Bowie doing in Australia? Why is he here? And this is the best song.
This clip clearly.
The pleated pants as well.
And he was fully suited, but God, it looked so hot. So
filmed in Australia.
Yeah, filmed in Australia.
What?
Yeah.
Do you remember it's in like an old pub and...
What city?
I think it was Sydney.
And then there's the last scene is the Indigenous girl dancing with Sydney background, skyline in the background.
Yeah. Well, in terms of getting the dance floor filled, I love that song is instructional.
Yes.
I mean, if you go out there, mate, just do this.
Dance.
Listen to the words and just do this.
Speaking of,
you know, kind of finding things, learning things about myself, there was a gentleman who really kind of captured my imagination. I think I'd seen him perform on Countdown in a pair of underpants and a shoulder padded jacket, and then
that could be anybody.
Exactly. And then
see him tonight.
Exactly, at the Christmas party.
Yeah.
And then he kind of turned up with this song that just blew my mind.
Yes. Like you're ripping out the legends.
Absolutely.
Both of these guys died this year.
I was going to say, Miff, any artists that are still alive that you've picked?
Actually, no.
This is a tribute to
it's like an in memoriam for with the Miff
Sorry, guys, on your last day, bringing the mood up. So good to be here. Thanks
that
for
is,
having me.
What a, very dark spirited.
What about that? What about that man?
What about that man?
I miss him terribly.
A question without notice. How many, you know, the famously, how many instruments could he play? He could play like almost every instrument.
Every single instrument. And pretty much played all the instruments, unless you were good enough. Like even Sheila E., who was the drummer on, you know, she, and
amazing.
Major Babe.
Major.
He surrounded himself with Major Babe as well,
he?
Which was so good for me as a young woman. But she even said he could play drums better than her, and she was a genius.
Remember the Super Bowl? It was the Super Bowl he played at halftime, and he said, Purple Rain in Miami, and it started raining, and they had the purple lights lighting up the rain.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Magical.
All right, bring it home strong.
All right. This is from an album that came out a year before, but this song wasn't released until May of that year.
We got it on technicality. Love it.
And I made a copy of the album myself, taped it, and then made my own cover by cutting out letters from a magazine.
Yes.
And I thought this bloke was going to marry me. All right, I said, one day I'm going to grow up and marry this man. And this song was a certified dance floor filler because it was on the second side of the record and you turn it over and go, yes! And this is it.
I said you want to be starting something. It's hard to get over.
Yeah, yeah.
Too low, get under.
Yeah, yeah.
Instructional dance move.
Yeah, yeah.
Go on, mate.
Too long to get it done. You know, I gave this to my best friend at the time, the Thriller album bought from Brashers.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like you handed it over like ceremonially, like it's Thriller. It's Thriller for you.
This is so special. It was a very special time in my life.
Miff.
Hey, can we get Miff to come in next year, right? But pick three artists that are alive. What about that?
Give it a red hot go. Miff, we just love you. You're a treasure. Please don't be a stranger.
I'd love to come back. This
awesome.
Sam's diary.
Bring it home, Pang.
Come on, mate.
We all know what this is by now, don't we? minutes.
Let's
and just
do it, just for old time's sake. We might have got one new listener today to make up for the hundreds that have left.
That's a very good point. Well, every week of this show, I've kept a little diary. I just scribble down some things during the week, and then on Friday, I read them out. So that's what we've done. This is week 42. I've done 42 of these.
Have you ever done something every week for 42 weeks, like work-wise?
Not even showered.
This is amazing.
Last week's, of course, was Rowan's diary. I think that was our program director, Rowan. I snuck in and grabbed his diary. So technically, that doesn't count. But anyway, here's mine.
Oh, he used his call, too, from the facility to say good luck for the holidays.
Monday.
Meant to tell you.
Still recovering from my trip to Sydney with Brownie and our program director, Rowan. I got to be honest, not the greatest travelling companions. Pretty sure mid-flight Brownie did a cashy in the cockpit for the pilots. While in hindsight, I'm not sure Rowan's experimenting with opium last week was such a good thing. As he kept asking the flight attendants if they knew where to score some Buddha.
I don't even know what that means, but it just sounds funny.
You know what I mean? Some tar, some black hash, some Chinese molasses. Rowan really was committed to joining the Mile High Club. Tuesday, Mark Colvin came in, radio legend from the ABC, to talk about his book Light and Shadow.
Was that this week?
Yes, on Tuesday. Wow. He's the book Light and Shadow, memoir of being the son of a spy. So many great stories of espionage, MI6, yes, and double agents. Mm. Double agents is a subject close to home here on this show, with Brownie having suspicions since day one that Dino was a double agent working for Fox FM. As the year went on and Dino racked up mediocre performance after mediocre performance, it only seemed to confirm Brownie's theory. Ooh. I mean, how could you listen to this and think Dino was on our side?
I recorded our interactions and I play them for you now.
Now, we don't have the... I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah.
Your big round eyes
Does that ever get tired? That is unbelievable that went to air on Melbourne Radio.
You're a star.
Wednesday, bump day. Not a great show.
No, never.
Shocker.
Our program director, Rowan, hauled us into the office. Well, it's less an office now and more a den. Decked out with opium paraphernalia, specialised pipes, cushions and red lamps.
Jimi Hendrix photos.
Specialised lamps.
Pipes, red lamps. You know, we know what it is. we were fully expecting a blast from Ron, but he just kept asking us if he wanted to go with him on a journey to the Emerald City. As the three of us eventually and slowly backed out of the room, all we could think was that was a great meeting. And how Rowan will be lucky if he makes it through the summer. Thursday.
Why opium? Yes.
I just thought I'd mix it up. So. Yeah, he's tried everything else. That was all that was left.
Well, he's given up the bottle.
Yeah, exactly. wasn't getting him there. Oh. Thursday. Got the great honour of bringing in my dance floor fillers.
Yes.
I went with Rex and FX's Rump Shaker.
Tune. Shoulder work then.
I brought back a great song by Johnny Gill called Floor. We just want that key change, don't you?
Sang it all
And
day.
I finished with Belinda Carlisle's Heaven is a Place on Earth. I just wanted to say there were some honourable mentions that I mentioned yesterday, but two songs very stiff not to make it were Whoop, There It Is by Tag Team. Tag Team, back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump.
Are we going to get it? Are we going to get there?
We'll get there.
Party over there, wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah. These three words mean you're getting there.
Three words.
Whoop, there it is, Hitman.
Whoop, there it is. Whoop, there it is.
That was stiff not to make it. Almost as stiff. This was the definitive dance floor filler for mine. That'll get him going. All right, wrapping it up. Friday, our last day for 2017. Time to reflect on the team that I've worked with this year. Mm. Dino, A talented young man who has blossomed this year as our anchor, slowly improving and fine-tuning his craft to where we can all safely say he has reached a level of competence somewhere below that of a dead koala.
Harsh.
Tim Verrill, our executive producer, did the work of two men this year. Mm-hmm. Well done, mate. Actually, I should just say smoked the
stick
for two men.
He ate the cheesels of three men.
Jack Charles, you know, I got a soft spot for our 19-year-old baby producer, despite most of the time having no idea what he's talking about. I'll always have a bond with his little child. You know why?
Why, darling?
We won Acris together.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yes.
Jack That's Charles, right. Best newcomer off-air talent. What? Well done on behalf of everyone. Look out for him.
Keep him off air.
Oh, keep him off air is right, Brownie, because when he went on air, well, we'll all remember his interview with celebrity chef Adriana Zumbo. And I'm pretty sure that Jackie will be staying off air. Here's some highlights.
So how long does that take you to make?
Maybe 4 to 5 hours.
Oh, far out. Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that. Do you do that often or?
We do them every day at work.
Every day?
So, yeah, every day.
He's a pastry chef.
Every day.
Yep.
And of course.
Jackie, love you.
Of course, did I mention his name, Brownie? It was Adriana Zumbo.
Yep.
All right, thank you so much, Adriana Zumbo.
Adriano.
Also, a big thank you to the little Filipino woman who's helped out all year. Great stuff, little fella. I don't know who she is.
Her name is Liz. It's Liza.
Liza.
Yeah, it's Liza.
What's she actually do here? What's her role?
Are you serious?
Come on.
She produces the.
Oh, she's a producer. Oh, well, that's great. It's good. Now that I know her name, I hope she's back next year. It'll make things easier now that I know her name.
Good on you, little fella.
Good on you, fella. Also, Andy Zito, the genius behind our social media, and while undoubtedly has had a great year, I publicly asked management, would it be the worst thing in the world if we cast the net a bit wider? And at the very least, Zito had to reapply for his job. Finally, Chrissy, what a woman you are. Funny, smart, warm, beautiful of heart, a privilege to work with.
Here it comes.
No. And Brownie, what can I say except you are Milo to my Otis.
Oh.
We finally sorted that out. It's been wonderful to work with you this year, but more importantly, it's been wonderful to make two new friends.
Aww.
In saying that, don't even think about texting, or ringing, or emailing me until January 24th of next year. When do we come back?
That's even after we come back.
When do we come back?
23rd.
You heard me. Until next year, goodbye.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Here he is, Tony Martin.
Hey. Yes, it's good to be here. Can I just say I was listening to your newsreader on the way in.
Yes.
Matt Smithson.
And he referred to the music of Nickelback as horrendous and torturous.
Well, that's fact.
That's in the news. That's a fact now.
Correct.
10 years ago, I was sacked from a radio job for not saying enough nice things about Nickelback.
How times change.
Now the newsreader. Oh, stop.
Stop it. This is bad memories for Tony Martin.
That's very insensitive.
Tony's here.
Yes, I am.
One more hour of the year starts now.
Bring it home, Tony.
Okay.
After be good. Naked. Pang, this is your favourite song, so I'd like to dedicate it to you.
Thank you.
You beautiful man.
Are you feeling sexual?
Certainly am. On Nova 100.
Oh. It's gotta be Tony Martin. It's
Hang
gotta
on.
Be Tony Martin.
That's me.
Here on Nova. Yeah. And it'll make you wonder. Yeah. In my mansion, Galen.
Yeah.
And Big Brother.
That's true.
Galen.
Oh, hang on. That's unfair.
What is with all the obscure references and don't stop? Never stop.
No, I heard true. that actual song was played earlier.
Yes.
With Miff Worse, and I thought that was my cue, so I was running up the stairs like a madman.
What a delight it's been, Tone, for you to come in. Of course, we're losing you as the we get to announce that Tony is replacing Steve Jacobs as the weatherman on the Today Show.
So, that's true.
Well done, mate. Well done.
But I'm using Mike Larkin's material. That's the innovation. Chrissy, question for you.
Yes, lovely.
What is parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme? What do you think of when I say that? What is that?
I think of like that Simon and Garfunkel song.
Wrong! It's the latest Channel 9 cop show from the makers of Hide and Seek. Steve Parsley, Gary Sage, Brian Rosemary and Mike Thyme, four unconventional cops taking the mob on one pun at a time. Sorry.
Can I say not a word of a lie? Every time a new show starts and it's got a pun like that.
Oh, can you believe it?
I get broken dolly face. Like,
I know. She goes, after The Simpsons, can you believe Gary Hyde?
I know.
Why is he not teamed with a Sikh in a turban?
I know.
How have they missed that?
How have they missed it? Hyde and Sikh.
I'd watch that.
Oh, that's been a highlight for the year. But we've been talking movies all year. And a strange thing, a sort of eerie thing happened to me during the week. I had to visit an entertainment lawyer. You know what an entertainment lawyer is.
Yeah,
no, absolutely. You, Sam, it's like a normal lawyer, but just with clown shoes on.
In terms of lawyers, by the way, they've got the best job.
Yeah, sure.
Because their clients are, you know, either wonderfully talented or funny or off the rails completely. Like, they've got a lot of work.
Yeah. And they see a lot of movies for free.
Yes.
But in the foyer, this bloke had a framed poster for a movie that I was in 15 years ago, which is Crackerjack.
Oh, yes. Great film.
Lawn Bowls movie starring my ex-comedy husband, Mick Malloy.
Yes.
And I was looking at the poster. I was sitting there and I was going, we made that 15 years ago. And, of course, so many elderly actors, or every elderly actor except for Bud Tingwall was in that film, and so many of them have since died.
Yes.
And I was looking at Esme Melville, great Esme Melville, no longer with us. Bob Hornery, of course, stage actor from Melbourne, he's died. Lois Ramsey, the woman who said, swear jar, she's sadly told me once that she used to lie about her. You know how actresses will shave a few years off?
Yeah.
She says, when you get to my age, you add a few on. I'm 86. I tell people I'm 93. It's much more impressive.
Is Frank Wilson, is he still with us?
Well, that's it. Look at the poster. So there we go. There on the end on the poster, Frank Wilson. He died in 2005.
Frank Wilson played Jock in the club, if you're wondering.
That's right.
The greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
The best stoned acting in an Australian movie.
Unbelievable.
Hang on. I'm going to call my dad. He'd love this conversation. Just give me 2 seconds.
Then if we go to the other end of the poster, Monica Maugham, of course, no longer with us, died in 2010. Next to Monica, we have Bill Hunter.
The great
Bill Hunter. He's gone in 2011.
Is there going to be an uplifting moment?
The thing is, I'm sitting there looking at this, and it is a morbid subject, and I'm apologising here, but I'm going, oh, no.
What?
They're dying in order of how they're on the poster.
What?
It's the curse of Crackerjack. Look at that.
You're joking.
Seriously, just look at the poster.
Should we call Judith Lucy?
No, sadly, the next victim is likely to be, if we go by the poster, Samuel Johnson.
Oh, no.
For God's sake, get off the unicycle.
The great Tony Martin's here. Yes. And by the way, during the break, John Clark rang up just to say, I'm still alive.
Oh, no. It's the curse of Crackerjack. But let's lift things. Let's get uplifting because I've loved coming on this show and working with this great team all year, filling in for... The idea was that I would just fill in when someone was sick.
Yes.
And then everyone got sick for five weeks, and the internet was suggesting that I was poisoning people.
That's right.
People.
Yes. Well, people got sick because our boss suggested it.
Yeah, right.
Can you please be sick now? We want more Tony Martin.
Well, I just going around the table here, Dino. I'd never worked with Dino before, and of course he's amazing on the buttons. Whatever you need, he can give you one of those, or even a. You know, of course, if you need a. He's got that. I don't know what that was, but apparently someone's been beheaded here in the studio. Not really the feel we want on breakfast, but what about one of those? Have you got one
of those? Well done, Dino.
Thank you.
Oh, it's Ray Martin.
He's got it all. And Dino's pitch.
Did you just see him? Tony Martin tried to surprise you. He stuck up. Have you got one of those?
Well done, Dino.
But that's from Dino's pitch, and that is the hottest segment on radio.
Agree.
Don't you find?
Dino's pitch is amazing.
And if you haven't heard Dino's pitch, it's weird. Dino, he sends you ideas for segments, Sam, late at night.
Yep. Text them through, and then he gets an opportunity to pitch them. And if they're any good, Tone, we go with them.
They end up on here. Now, see, the problem is I've become so addicted to it, I've started calling Dino late at night with ideas for him to send Sam. for Dino's pitch, because I'm just constantly thinking of them. I'm going, what about something called Mr. Boombastic? So
this is a mystery.
The idea is you have to apply for something serious like planning permission or a mining license, but insist that your name is Mr. Boombastic. And at some point you have to describe someone as the peas. Or what about the farmer wants a palmer? What about that for an idea, Chris? I'm just constantly thinking.
Farmer wants a palmer. What does that mean?
So I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's just that could be a Dino's pitch. So I'm now pitching to Dino for Dino's
Sorry,
pitch.
I guess I'll just hold you up there. Farmer wants a palmer, right, is very catchy, right, and sounds great. What is it?
I don't know. It's just it's a gang of farmers going from pub to pub, like that kid who raced them on the internet.
Tasting Parmesanas.
Yep.
And then they marry the best one. I don't know. It's Dino's pitch.
I would
it's
watch
not
that.
Not the Nobel Prize.
You don't realise that that is probably going to be a show in 6 months' time.
That'll get up.
What about this bloke, Brownie? So I hadn't worked with Brownie before. And
together at lot.
Let's be honest. Looks like a footballer. Sounds like a footballer. I'm thinking, surely, you know, I've got this guy sus. And then you were doing name things, just really quickly name things, and you went Australian films, and I'm thinking, he'll say Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
He'll say Strictly Ballroom. Comes out with Silent Partner, an art house movie from the late 90s. What was that about? And I said, do it again, name another Australian film. He's got Idiot Box. And what is
Silent
this?
Partner was one of the great greyhound films in Australia, down in your luck, Trainer.
Although I subsequently found out his favourite film is Lethal Weapon 2, as we know. Because he is still to this day mesmerised by Patsy Kensett's boobs.
Yes. He's only human. But he is a great surprise, isn't he, Jonathan?
And also the villain saying diplomatic immunity.
That's right. It's part of the lexicon.
Thank you, Tony.
Chrissy, now, I think I'd worked with you really just on shows. You were on a lot of different radio shows,
yes.
I remember, over the years. I remember guesting
all of them.
Well, I was a guest on one of your shows to promote something, and I got in a cab and went to the next station. You were already working there. That's what I remember. But I've learned so many things. I've learned so many things about you just from listening to this show on the way in to do my segment. Like, for apparently you're too posh to push. What was that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Too posh to push. I got caught, photographed. shopping with someone pushing her trolley to the car with the goods in it.
Down at the Camberwell Junction in front of the mirror.
So, right. Yeah. You don't seem that posh to me. Let me just say that.
I don't think I am.
And I have enjoyed hearing about your mum. Tell me again, what was the thing your mum said when she was in Bali on holiday and did a waiter come up?
Village of Enchantment?
Yeah.
So Mum was staying at a hotel called Sativa Sunua Cottages, and its little tagline was Village of Enchantment. And we were sitting down for dinner, and another guest was at the table, and she was holding the brochure in her hand, and she said, "This is how I feel about this place. Village of Enchantment."
She needs a regular segment.
She does, if she ever wakes up. It'd be lovely.
Sam Pang, of course, I've known for years, and the best newcomer on radio.
Yes.
Except I can remember, like, about 12 years ago on community radio, the first time I ever heard of Sam Pang is someone said to me, there's this madman on community radio who every morning plays excerpts from Burt Reynolds' talking book of his autobiography.
My Life.
Yes.
That's what it was called.
Coming to Chrissy, Sam and Brownie in 2017.
We're working on the rights, Tony, for next year.
And he's dragged me into every project since then, ADBC, Kane and Disabled.
Dragged me.
The Lonely Hearts Club. Do you know what any of these shows are?
What's Kane and
of
Disabled?
Of course you don't.
No, it's... No, I keep you off Broadway, mate, where you belong.
But I have... Sam and I are bonded by a love of old-school Las Vegas-style show business, and Sam always inherits my old DVDs. That's the sort of relationship we have.
Great.
So yeah, you know why? Tell you why. Because he's got a Blu-ray DVD
sad,
player, so he's just getting rid of old ones.
I'm upgrading. And so I brought in today a couple of movies that I know you love.
It's in a bag.
Here they are. Can you say what those are? It's...
One is Tony Rome, of course. That's a Frank Sinatra. Both of them,
yeah,
are Frank Sinatra.
And the sequel, yes.
Lady in Cement.
These
are Frank Sinatra classic. And somebody gave me Tony Rome, and they said, "Look, it's a good film, but it may be slightly dated." So I put it on, and the first thing you see is Frank Sinatra is like owns a boat, and he's working on his boat, and then he looks over, and there's a woman in a bikini, and the woman bends over. The camera zooms in on her arm. And the music goes brrrr. So add those to your collection, Sam.
Ah, Tony, thank
you. What a team. Thanks for having me. God. It's been a great year. Cheers. Make it there. Program of enchantments.
Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
Yeah, yesterday's news actually was that little Stevie Jacobs was leaving the Today Show, which inspired us to have a chat like this. Steve Jacobs, the weatherman, who seems to have been on the Today Show for 25 years.
After Monty.
Yes.
Monty.
Yes, I
what?
Do.
What? What does that mean?
Monty was the weatherman before Stevie Jacobs.
What was Monty's story?
I don't think it was. I think it ended well.
Yeah, I don't think it did.
No.
He might have just been happy and walked.
No, I think there was something going on there.
Currently resides in Lake Macquarie. Nothing else.
Well, because we are like sleuths, we have found Monty, the weatherman Dwyer. Come in, Monty.
Yes, good morning, guys. You clearly have nothing better to do there in the studio, do you?
You found us out, Monty.
Curry up, you know, scurrilous rumours and innuendo.
Now, Monty, Stevie Jacobs, he's leaving. Hey, geez, he put in a good wicket there. Is it the hardest job ever?
That's a trick question. It looks like a pretty good job, doesn't it, travelling around the country? But look, it wears you out. I believe Stevie made 12 years.
Yes.
And the last time we spoke, I was 11 and a bit. And it was looking unlikely whether he'd make 12, but he's done it out of spite, I'm sure. He's taken my record. Look, you know, you can't really call it a hard job when... Well, or at least you can't call it a bad job when you're travelling the country and, you know, you basically look like you've got the job everybody else wants. But it's hard work if you've got, especially with Steve, he's got a young family. And,
that's right.
You know, you spend a lot of time away from home, living out of suitcases, and you do get sick of hotels. I know, you know, some of your illustrious guests in there have... Tony Martin and others have spent a lot of time in five-star hotels. You get sick of it, don't you?
Hey,
Brownie.
I got sick of living at the casino last year. But no, they were very good. Hey, Monty, I did mention you now reside in Lake Macquarie, and I believe that's where you were or where you grew up.
Apparently Lake Macquarie, and that's it.
Well, Monty, just to show that you haven't lost it, can you please give us the weather in Lake Macquarie today?
Ah, lovely today, warming up to a top of about 32 degrees. I'm standing here on the lake itself. It's crystal clear and it's smooth as glass. Beautiful.
Monty, we bloody miss you. Thanks so much for talking to us. Now,
before I go, I must tell you what I'm doing. I travel the country these days as a freelance journalist and I write books, make DVDs, and they're all under the Red in the Centre banner. And easy to find, go onto the website. www.monty.com.au. How's that for a plug?
You're awesome. I'm going to get onto Wikipedia and update it.
Yeah, righto. Good.
Good on you, Monty.
See you guys.
Okay, Dinos. Pitch. Listen to me, I've got 11 years of radio experience. I'm a veteran. Dinos pitch. They don't put wings on anyone's hat. Dinos. Pitch.
Hit it. Dino's pitch.
Dino's pitch.
Dino's pitch.
Dino's pitch.
This is where Dino pitches all his amazing ideas that he wants to get on the show, and some of them we use. We believe in promoting from within.
Dino texts me an idea, and I read it out to you now. This one here says, Tone, hanging with Chrissy's son, Leo. Now, is this a spin-off from... Because Hanging with Pete Smith was a very successful pitch that you did.
And then Hanging with Peter Hitchener, I think. Was
that's
that,
coming.
Oh, that's coming. Sorry, coming. Whoops.
No, no, no. Good well, that's remote.
Already someone else is doing that now.
This is part two. This is part two in the Hanging with range.
Okay.
And...
is this why you had to come over to my house the other day?
Well, I had Leo for a whole day, Swan, and thank you for giving me that beautiful child. I love Leo so much for a few reasons. First of all, his voice. I mean, listen to this rich, beautiful voice.
Okay.
He's just got this richness to him.
He sounds like a gangster from the 80s, from the 30s, Tony. You know, that's like Jimmy Cagney or something.
He really does. Also, Swanee, his cheekiness and honesty, right?
Mm.
I mean, you must witness some stuff.
Oh, man, I do. He is out of this world.
So what I said to Leo, I said, mate, we're going to hang out all day. I just want you to be yourself and just be honest to people, just interact with the world, and we're going to hang out. We're going to be buddies.
Okay.
All right, so we're at Woolies, and I bought him some chewies at the counter. Okay, sure.
Hey, mate, I'll get you some chewies. How much are these?
$3.99. That's a bit rich.
That's on a T-shirt already.
Oh.
That is on a T-shirt. Wow, that's a great idea.
I just love him, Swan.
What about the pause?
Oh,
after he heard the... Hang on a minute.
No, he's just taking it all in.
I'm going to say something, he says.
Now,
that's a good point, though, Swan.
It is. That's a lot for chewies.
Tuesday, he was in here. We took him around the studio. Are you guys interested in audio when we visited our boss Rowan's office?
Yeah.
The den.
Hey, Ro.
Hello, mate.
Hey, Leo. You mind if Leo sits in?
Hey, come in, boys. How are you, mate?
Your breath smells like my dad's breath after a Saturday night, but it's only Tuesday.
Goodness me.
Sorry, your breath smells like my dad's after a Saturday night, but it's Tuesday. That is genius from
Tuesday Leo. Morning.
He's
going to
be
work.
He'll be hosting the roasts in no time. He's like Don Rickles.
Okay. All right. Before I play the last bit, we've got the green light to do more Hanging with Leo next year.
Yes, you do.
All right. Now, what I witnessed on Tuesday was one of the great drive-bys of the year involving Leo and Gary off MasterChef.
Wow. Okay. Ooh.
So we'll end on this one. Mm-hmm. Me and Leo were walking around. Gary was outside the studio just sitting there, so we kind of just quickly said hello.
Hi, Gary. Dino here, and this is Leo.
Hello. Hey, how are you?
Oh, someone pinched me. It's the least interesting MasterChef judge.
Did he say, someone pinched me? It's the least interesting part.
Mate, not only is that a segment, he'll be in your job next year, don't know.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, my job's done.
Another great one, mate.
Sensational.
Pang is writing that one down.
Oh,
look,
yeah, no.
He's already stealing your son's material.
That is A+.
Where's Gary Megan going to go when he comes in here next year?
I don't know. What do you reckon, Ray?
Well done, Dino.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for me. Nova 100.
Until next year, the way radio is, people will be thinking, Jesus, give me the ass already. No, we are coming back next year. After that, who knows? But we do have another one.
We are looking forward to it. We've had a great year. And Swan and Pangy and Dino and Tone, I've gone through my little red book for the year. We've had some great memories. And just to complete our season 2016, I'm going to finish it off.
This is no diary. Is Brownie's Big Red Book.
Every single day.
Got me bed there, Dana?
Absolutely, mate. Here we go.
Squiddle.
No, not that one.
Oh, a different one.
No, I reckon some banjos today. It's been a memorable first year on air. One filled with plenty of laughter and a few tears along the way. Especially when Swan and myself found out that Sam won't be turning up until 7 a.m. each morning. And also, we'll not be doing live reads.
No.
That's why I went out and found a sponsor for this segment. And Sam will do his first live read.
From the top?
Yes.
Brownie, oh God. Brownie, we all know you're a bit of a turkey. Ha ha. But in all, I'm just reading what it says.
Yeah,
but in all seriousness, oh nice. But in all seriousness, San Antone Christmas turkeys are the turkeys to eat this Christmas.
Keep going.
Barbecue King Kevin Bloodsoe's famous for his turkeys for Christmas. This is why I don't do them, by the way. Just like my famous segment, jokes aren't funny. It's a real winner. You're an idiot. Order a Texas-style slow and low-cooked turkey for your festive celebrations. Mmm, delicious. I can taste it in my mouth right now. Feeds 10 to 12. Also known as a brownie meal, and it's just $195.
That's a whole turkey.
That seems high.
Keep reading.
Sides include barbecue cranberry sauce, chipotle sweet potato mash, and braised cabbage with smoked sausage.
Yum.
And a big Sampang smile. You idiots. To place an order, call San Antone on 9292-5777. Now.
Yes!
You did it!
Oh, that's brilliant.
Thank you, Sam. I'm taking my family there for dinner tonight. We came together for our first week on air and quickly found out that Sam and myself had a knack for interviewing the world's biggest movie stars. Samuel L. Jackson and Kurt Russell were astonished at our line of intellectual questioning. That interview wasn't the only big hit early in the year. Just ask Aussie actor Malcolm Kennard about his performance at the Logies after party.
Ivan Milat, guys.
Swan was busier than a one-armed bricklayer during the first quarter. With spelling bee and long-lost family duties, she was under the pump. But her efforts to engage both Pang and myself when talking about Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian during entertainment news was akin to scaling Mount Everest without oxygen. Sam, I don't know what's harder. Swan, I don't know what's harder, getting Sam and myself to talk during that segment or for your team, the Tigers, to win a game.
Oh.
Yellow and black. On the 23rd of May, we introduced a new segment, AFL v NRL.
Oh.
A game in which Pang and myself introduced sporting scandals from either code, and Swan had to guess which code the scandal was from.
So good.
It started beautifully when we heard about a famous incident from a team heading off on an end-of-season footy trip back in 1985, where one of the players got up on the PA and announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is Captain Gronewegan speaking. We are currently cruising at 10,000 metres. I hope you are enjoying the flight because it will be your last. We are going down." Swan guessed correctly. She screamed, "AFL!" Pang and myself have never been prouder of you, Swan.
Thank you. Of course, it was
Robert Gronewegian who'd played for the Western Bulldogs. On June the 4th, Sam turned up to work sporting black armbands. We didn't need to ask why, because the great Muhammad Ali had passed away the night before.
Ooh.
The world's greatest sporting icon and arguably the most famous person of the 20th century was a hero to Pang. However, it wasn't the first time that Pang had worn the black armbands.
No.
He also wore them in an under-13 Collingwood District Junior match after Apollo Creed died in the ring at the hands of Ivan Drago in Rocky IV. Ah, you're a sweet kid.
He's an empath. You're a sweet kid.
In late May, we canvassed the idea of getting our loyal listeners to ring up and try to make our resident comedian Sam laugh. He thinks jokes aren't funny, and our argument wasn't helped by the jokes that Mike Larkin dished up each night while presenting the weather on Channel 10 News.
Oh, Mike.
It was a big ask to get my little mate to laugh, but I had a crack with this. There was a drunk that had a few drinks.
Yeah.
You know, he's down the pub and he goes, righto, he's got to make his way home. He thought, I'll get a feed on the way home. He goes into an establishment. Yeah, mate, I'll have a, thinking it's a fish and chip store, I'll have 2 potato cakes, a piece of flake, some chips. And it was actually a library. And the librarian says to him, do you realise this is a library? And he goes, oh, okay, can I have 2 potato cakes, a piece of flake and some chips?
It's still funny. It's still funny.
Larkin-esque in its delivery, by the way.
Oh, no!
And don't say that's not funny, Sam, because that's your joke. You gave it to me.
Oh! Hey. Bam!
While on the topic of comedians, on the 18th of August, I told of how I tried to organise a famous comedian for a footy club fundraiser. When I told my old footy club I could get Johnny Garfield, they were thrilled. I rang my mate Cobber for the great comedian's number. Cobber said I could have old Johnny's number, but there was one minor issue. What's that, Cobber? I said. He died last May, Cobber replied. Valet Johnny Garfield. On Wednesday the 25th of August, Sam was infuriated after going to watch a football match at the Adelaide Oval. The same match in which a fan had thrown a banana at Eddie Betts. A bit rather unfortunate.
Disgrace.
Sam complained that on the same night while arriving at the famous ground, someone threw a spring roll at him.
You recovered?
You recovered, Sam. And you did say that on air, Sam. Friday the 16th of September, Swanee was able to live out a dream of hers and sing in a studio with Glenn Shorrock.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Swan had tears of joy as she belted out a duet with the famous Little River Band singer.
I did.
Swan was over the moon. But Glenn was dismayed when he found out that Kate Langbrook was no longer the headline act at Nova. Well, he obviously enjoyed the 60s.
I tell you what. If I had a dollar for every time that happened, remember Steve Price on the boat? How's your real estate show going? Oh, that's Kate Langbrook.
Yeah, then he followed up with, but that's all right, but you still, what about you on a Friday night on the project?
Still doing Friday nights. So, mate, that's Michelle Laurie.
Grand final is always a big week in this town. It was made even bigger when we presented a documentary on Sam Pang's footy career. The Orchid, as he was affectionately known by his teammates, was a decent footballer and often regaled us in a story about the day he kicked 9 goals in a big country football match. I asked his mate Zig about this. Zig said the first 6 were the best goals he had ever seen, but he didn't witness the last 3 goals because he was inside getting dressed for his own game. Zig, unlike Pang, was playing in the seniors.
Oh, great memories, big fella. Great
October memories. 25th saw Swan reveal to us that she had found an article about the day her father, Major Gary Swan, had thwarted a bank robbery. Mm. Swan proudly showed off the old paper clipping of Major Swan holding his reward after chasing the robber down. This fearsome reputation was par for the course for this Vietnam veteran. In fact, The day that he met Sam in studio, he stood cautiously in the corner thinking to himself, the last time I saw someone who looked like Sam, I was shooting at him.
He did not. He never said that.
He's standing in the corner with a bayonet. I'm not overly.
Sam Pang, he was not.
Early in the year,
Charlie.
George.
Earlier in the year, we met Chrissy's mother, Patty. I remarked to Swan that she was a lovely lady, warm, funny and endearing, albeit half-crackers. Swan confirmed this for us when on Wednesday the 9th of November she told this story about her mum, Patty.
So mum was at, Doncaster Shopping Town, and she went in to the change room to try something on.
Oh, gone early. Unbelievable, Brownie. Gone early.
Hang in there. We're 30 seconds in.
She went into the change room and, you know, there's mirrors everywhere and it's sort of quiet anyway. She was walking past the doorway and she was trying to get through this doorway, but there was a woman blocking her way, and mum jumped to the left and jumped to the right trying to avoid this woman. And then mum goes to the woman, oh, my God, we're wearing almost the same thing. And she was standing in front of a mirror. Still kills me.
That's the cleanest you ever got that out.
Yes. Properly jumped. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. And then it was only when the woman didn't reply when she said we're wearing almost the same thing.
And if you thought Patty was half-crackers, well, we realise the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. When a few weeks ago we revealed to Chrissy a serious news story about a crocodile trying to attack a romantic couple in a resort pool.
Overseas now, and a couple out for a late-night swim at their resort in Zimbabwe got the shock of their lives.
Oh, God.
When a 2-metre crocodile crept up on them and joined them in the pool.
Oi.
She makes it sound so festive. Hey, guys, you mind if I join you? Are you skinning over tonight? Hey, what are you drinking? The crocodile's not joining you for anything.
No, that's joining you for dinner.
Is that your impression of a crocodile?
Yeah, it was. Hey, thorough flossing and brushing every day.
They don't have crocodiles in America. They're alligator swan.
If you were you and Kyle's having a little dip in the pool in Waikiki at your resort, and something like that happened, big fella, what do you genuinely think you'd do?
I would like to think that I would grab my beautiful wife out and I would help her out of the pool. And then I'd get out myself, so I'd get her out first. I'd like to think that.
Swanee, he probably would do that.
He probably would. Mm. Crocodile would say, hey, I want you, big fella. You get rid of that bag of bones. No. I want you, you juicy butt.
We've got a new character on the show called...
Resort Crocodile. Resort
Crocodile. Resort Crocodile thinks
That's right, Resort Crocodile will be back in 2016.
I hope so.
And before we go for 2016, it would be remiss of me not to mention the maestro behind the desk, our Dino.
Our darling Dino.
He's made an art form out of hitting the wrong buttons at exactly the right time. Hopefully you can get your head on the billboard next year, mate. But if not, just remember you've always got your career as a junior brain surgeon to fall back on. We love you, mate. And we also love the rest of the team behind the scenes that make this show possible.
Right.
Without you guys, we would be applying for the next series of I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here.
Oh, my God, what sort of idiot would do that?
Liza, Jackie the Lackey, Mount, Andy, Smitho, our cheese-leading, chain-smoking producer, Timmy, and our tormented boss, Rowan. You're all amazing. Thank you. Anyway, that's enough from me. I know what you must be thinking. How do you remember your lines, big fella?
Other big fella.
Other big fella.
All I can say, it's a once-in-a-generation gift.
Other big fella.
That is it, everyone.
That is it.
Thank you to everybody that's listened this year. We have had the best time. We look forward to next year.
And the news at 9:25 is coming up.
Exactly right. Goodbye. Enjoy your holidays. And I'll leave the last word to my 7-year-old daughter, Olivia.
Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Sam, Mum said no ringing Dad for golf on the holidays. She thinks you guys need some space. Chrissy, Sam and Brownie will be back in 2017. I can't wait.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Here's what you're waking up to, Melbourne. Yeah, that'll be awesome, that cinema, Dana. Here's what you're waking up to, Melbourne. Now, pretty quiet news day today, Swan.
Yes.
Everywhere around the world, but just tidying up from this plane crash over in Brazil, of course, where one of the teams, the Brazilian Premiership Soccer team, Chapo Coenzi, I'm not sure if you pronounce it that way, but, of course, a lot of their team died in a plane crash the other day.
Yeah.
On their way to a game, the equivalent of our FFA Cup final, which was on a Wednesday night at Amy Park, where the top teams from Brazil play against each other. So 71 people died. Now, it's just been found out through some leaked audio from the control tower that the plane had actually run out of fuel.
How does that happen?
The plane had actually run out of fuel, had electrical problems, but while flying at 9,000 feet, which is only 27 and 40 metres, it ran out of fuel, which is well below the highest peaks in the region, very mountainous region, of course. So the pilot was in all sorts of trouble. Quite often, you have seen stories if a plane runs out of fuel at full altitude, Swan, they're able to glide down and land safely.
But provided there's no mountains.
Provided there's no mountains along. So that is unbelievable. So it was a rare case of the fuel running out. Obviously, the investigations will continue. All but 6 of the 77 people on board were killed carrying that soccer team. So that's shocking news, isn't it?
It's just horrific. And so close to the airport. They were only 13 kilometres from where they could land. But, of course, too many mountains in the way.
They weren't high enough. That's right, 13 Ks, which is not that fast one when you're actually gliding a plane in. But you need more height than that.
You certainly do. It's a tragic story. Now, to put a smile on your dial after that, because that is a miserable story.
Yes.
Warnie. He's done it again. Oh. He's released a series of emojis.
Oh.
Okay, so the Star Emojis team has put together a little suite of classic Shane Warne moments. They've done it for Kim Kardashian, Justin Bieber and Usain Bolt in the past, but Shane Warne's the first Australian to have a crack at this. Such glittering moments include him holding a cricket wicket over his head. Remember he'd do that in a little stretch?
Yes.
There's him pushing his mouth over the beer glass, which is my personal favourite. And I used that only 4 days ago to my sister. Just sent it to her apropos of nothing because I bloody love it. What I want to know
is... Why don't you try and do that today at our long lunch?
I might do it. I would love to know if Shane Warne himself uses these emojis.
Yeah.
Should I ask him?
That'd be great to ask him. I've also got a couple sent from one of the boys connected with Warney that didn't make the paper swap.
Right, so there's a few dirty ones. Is that him and Liz Hurley are there?
There's a bit of canoodling going on.
There's some canoodling in Love Hearts.
And then, of course, the classic Warney pose with a gasper.
With a fag.
Oh, yes.
Warney with a dart hanging out of his mouth.
We all love him. We all love him. So, and he's coming on at 7:10.
He certainly is.
Do not miss Warney at 7:15, we'll say.
Beautiful.
Hey, it's the end of the year, and there's stuff in my folder that I haven't been able to get to.
Oh, Swanee.
So I'm going to spend the next few minutes clearing out a few of my favourite bits that otherwise would not have made it to air.
Yes.
Now, you may not have ever heard this because generally I do it later in the show. It's reading out honest RSVP.com profiles.
This was a cracker. You did this a few weeks ago.
I saved them up many, many years ago and I just found them. And I've got two more before the supplier's finished. That's it.
They're real.
These are real that I've copied and pasted.
It was like the old Tinder.
Yeah.
In a sophisticated way, though.
Absolutely. Yep. My name is Shane. I have an easygoing personality. Most of my time is spent working during the week at night. I enjoy having a good laugh and I fire off one-liners when I'm tired.
Oh, you like Sam, little quipster.
When I'm tired, though. It's like that's important to understand. You know when you get a bit tired and you're funnier? Does everybody know that?
A bit more lucid.
He's put that in there.
Yeah.
He fires off one-liners when he's tired. It would be nice to be with someone who is not afraid to hold hands in public.
Okay. Not sure about that one.
Poor Shane.
Well.
Oh, poor Shane. Imagine. What is his history?
Yes.
That in a profile he has to put in, you know, you must be a certain height, whatever.
Yeah.
And you must be okay with holding hands in public.
Seems bizarre, Swan, because very rarely you hear the male say that he wants to hold hands.
That's right.
Quite often it's the female.
He's showing his vulnerable and sensitive side. And 10 points for that, Shane.
Chippy a hand holder?
I think he was, yeah. He was.
What, with other women?
Hey!
He was.
Before kids and the whole catastrophe happened. You know what I mean? There's little chubby sticky hands in there now. I can't get my little chubby sticky hand in there. Because we're outnumbered. Three kids.
Yes.
See? Let's move on. This one doesn't have a name, but I'm about 6 foot. Bit of a beer gut.
Ooh.
I like to dress in jeans and a T-shirt with work boots.
I don't mind that.
I don't mind it either.
The Blundstones on. Maybe the Blue Steels.
I like to play darts.
Oh, yes.
So let's just take that from the top.
Whoa.
I'm about 6 foot. Bit of a beer gut. I like to dress in jeans and a T-shirt with work boots. I like to play darts. I think I might have married that one. All right, now let's keep on going through the file. I think it's time for a bit of taste.com.au, Dino.
Chrissy's taste.com.au. You made it wrong, wrong, wrong. The strawberry doesn't go in the fish with that sauce.
Strawberry doesn't go in the fish risotto.
It doesn't.
So that's the premise of this. There's a website called taste.com.au which has got over 400,000 recipes. and people give them a go, and then they hop on to review it.
Yes.
And the reviews are something to be seen. And I've enjoyed these reviews, as have you, all year.
It's been one of your great segments.
A great surprise to all of us. And I think I saved the best till last. Now, this is a chocolate and beetroot cake with chocolate ganache. Now, not many people know that you can whip a whole lot of grated beetroot into a cake and you can't taste it.
It
makes it really moist, almost like a red velvet sort of, you know, it disintegrates. It's a beautiful traditional sort of thing.
Yeah, but wouldn't you be able to...
The
fibres, yeah.
No, it sort of all disappears. You can also make a wonderful chocolate zucchini cake with the same thing. So essentially the ingredients is lots of dark chocolate, 2 cups of raw beetroot, and then normal eggs, flour, cocoa.
Truckload of sugar.
Sugar, yeah, a cup of brown sugar. So it's quite a warm, moist cake.
Mm.
Well, that's what I think anyway. Jane Doe, though. Says,
oh, she wouldn't put a name up.
No, D-O-U-G-H.
Ooh.
Jane Doe, because it's a cooking site.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
20 smart. Points. 20
Get her
points
on.
For that.
Yeah. Jokes aren't funny.
Well done.
Next year.
Good on you, Janie.
Good on Jane.
She says, she's made the cake, and she says, you can definitely taste the beetroot in the cake, which is a shame, as I don't really like beetroot that much. I also don't like cakes that are sweet.
Oh, gosh.
The cake is nice after you put it in the fridge and the ganache hardens, which is the only way to disguise the beetroot taste.
Right.
Now, Jane,
what part of
if
the...
I don't like beetroot, why would you even make a beetroot and chocolate cake?
Blue, Jane.
What part of the heading did she did not ring the alarm bells?
Well, obviously she's got, like, selective blindness because they've got beetroot in the heading and 2 cups of the stuff. Steer clear, Jane Doe. Steer clear.
Nova.
Chrissy Swan. Sam Pang. And Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's Celebrity Stuff.
Hey, we've got tickets to Tiny Temper.
Yes.
Who's going to be at the Prince Band Room Tuesday, March 7. The tickets go on sale 12 noon today through livenation.com.au. But if you want to go on us, please do give us a call right now, 13 24 10. Victoria's Secret Fashion Show was filmed yesterday. It's going to go to air Thursday, the 8th of December. I don't even know what day it is today, but I reckon that's next week.
Yep.
On Channel 9. Now, the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show has always been a massive deal. All the biggest models do it. But how's this for orcs? One of the Hadid girls. You know that name. I don't know which one it was. Which one was it, Jackie? Bella. Bella Hadid. She walked the catwalk with... The Weeknd, who sing this song. They used to go out, but they recently broke up and they were there on stage together. But she really rose above it. She wrote a beautiful Insta post. You can check it out on our Insta. Is that what you're saying? Well, there it is.
Well, former teammate Joel Padfield has just played for the Lions and also just retired from GWS. Him and his girl were there.
Wow.
Just his Instagram post there, looks like they're front row.
Look at that,
Victoria's Secret.
A little local anchor, Jonathan.
Don't worry, the old head would have been on a swivel, Jolly.
I bet. How do you do that? That's hard.
Tough. I remember going to a fashion show once.
Was it
Carl's.
Difficult?
Well, Carl was sitting beside me.
Yeah.
Felt very uncomfortable.
Did you just say, I'm just here for the music?
Yeah. And the rest, I had one eye open, Swan, but I just looked straight ahead.
Exciting news for people that love a biopic. I do. The Olivia Newton-John story is going to be played out on Channel 7, and Delta Goodrum is going to play ONJ. I am so excited. What good casting.
Yeah.
They've got a really good friendship / relationship, and so Delta's going to lean heavily on Olivia Newton-John for inspiration. Let's just play Xanadu because we can.
Xanadu, your neon lights will shine.
Get it, get it.
For you, Xanadu.
Get it, Olivia, yes.
What a song.
Love,
oh, my God. Hey, you went a little bit Bee Gees then.
Yeah,
impressive.
Yeah.
I reckon it'll be good.
I reckon it'll be awesome.
Sandy.
I've loved them all. Peter Allen, all of them. Oh, loved yes. it. Loved it. Loved it.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Now, beautiful Melbourne, this is our last show for the year. Sad. I'm going to miss you all.
Yeah.
But none more than Kaz from Lyndhurst. Kaz,
hello.
Hello, my darling. How do you do today?
Oh, pretty good, thanks. And you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good.
Now, you've fallen in love with Jonathan Brown this year, as have we all.
Oh, Kaz.
Yeah. Gorgeous. Love you, Brownie.
Good on you, Kaz. Isn't love he? You too, mate.
Isn't he just the best?
Down towards Lyndhurst is down towards near the zoo where I took the kids to the what? Zoo the other night, the Pakenham Zoo.
The Pakenham Zoo?
Yeah, you know, where the horses run around.
Oh, that zoo. Yeah, no, we're a little bit further out from that zoo.
Hey, Kaz, one of the greatest things, you know, about this year and falling in love with Jonathan Brown was hearing his stories and the way he tells them.
Yes.
And there was one in particular earlier on in the year that you adored. What was it?
The one when he was first seeing Kyle years and years ago when he was telling a story about the new football boots.
The new football boots. Well, Kaz from Lyndhurst.
Oh, he was showing off the new boots and something happened.
Something happened indeed. And just for you, Kaz,
and for me,
Jonathan Brown is going to retell this story we've never heard it.
Yes.
So sit down and enjoy this story.
Thank you. Love you all.
Thanks, Kaz. Have a beautiful Christmas.
Good on you, Kaz.
Take it away, Jonathan Brown.
We need the story time.
Yeah, let's go. Do it.
I'm bugging
it. Just go.
This is just for you, Kaz. Righto, back in the early 2000s, Swan, and early days of me prime, but at that stage I was a three-timer premiership player by the ripe old age of 21. But
21?
Yeah, so obviously Carl's had a bit of an inkling for me. And,
she did.
So I started dating Carl's and eventually we did the big thing. We moved in together as couples do.
How beautiful.
And then we bought a house together.
Lovely.
An old unrenovated Queenslander. You know, those old weatherboard things, they sit up on the stilts.
Yes.
Because obviously Brisbane floods a hell of a lot. And we were there. So we used to enjoy romantic nights on the couch. Mm. It's only early days in our relationship. It's not like that anymore, Swan, but early days we did. And we would sit on the couch during footy season and watch TV and just take it easy. Well, quite often on a Friday night, though, we would sit there and just take it easy. But this was no ordinary Friday night, Swan.
No.
This was a Friday night, the night before a big game. We played Carlton on the Saturday night, and I just received a delivery of boots. Just received
like Christmas, isn't it?
Like Christmas. Don't worry, I was a kid in a candy store because Swan. I love my footy boots.
Yeah.
I used to wear a new pair nearly every game.
A new pair every game.
Well, this was a new model, the new Adidas Adi Pure. White leather, beautiful, smooth as a baby's backside, they would. And I thought, Carl's, we're sort of sitting on the couch, watching the TV, and I thought, hang on a minute, I might just try these on. So I went into the bedroom, I got the brand new spanking Adi Pures, shiny Adi Pures.
I'm a big fella.
Carl's is sitting on the couch, and I thought, well, I'm going to do a little bit of a parade. So out I come, just like one of those Victoria's Secret models last night. I strutted out with a new bus. So, Carl's, have a look at the new Adi Pures. They're magnificent. I'll kick 10 tomorrow night, won't I? And I said, have a look at it. And fair to say, a bit of rolling of the eyes going on here, Swan. So I thought, well, hang on, miss. She's not as invested as I would like her to be. So I thought, have a look at this, Carl's, because she knows I didn't have the greatest vertical leap going around, but have a look at this, Carl's. See, I can jump. Look at the height
jumping
I get.
Jumping up and down.
Jumping up and down the floorboards. Up, two, three, four, five, and bang! I've gone straight through the floorboards.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Jackie, good morning.
Good morning.
Jackie, do you know how this works?
I do.
Good. We're going to play you a scene from a movie. If you can identify it, you get the prize.
Awesome.
Here we go, Jack.
You complete me. And I just had...
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello.
So great, Jackie. What's the movie?
My goodness. Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger.
Yes.
Jerry Maguire.
Yay! Oh, nice Jackie, work. You are going to the Backlot Drive-ins.
Awesome, thank you.
Bit of theatre there by Jackie too, just strung it out.
Jackie,
it
you got
five, coming, it was coming.
Yeah, $500 to spend to see blockbuster movies and Melbourne from a different perspective this summer. The Backlot Rooftop Drive-in Blockbusters.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.